Over the years, it has not been uncommon that theologians who started to think on their own have gotten themselves in some trouble with the authorities in the church. This is part of human nature and always been the war of free thinking versus thinking along the traditions. Today we post a book by one of those controversial theologians. The book is Hans Kuhn, Disputed Truth, Memoirs 2. The publisher, Continuum, New York, the year 2008. An excerpt from the jacket. This second volume of Han Kuhn's memoirs begins with him as an outstanding young professor of theology who has made his mark at the Second Vatican Council and is now faced with the revolutionary student unrest of 1968. This is the same unrest that we here in the United States faced around that time and just around that time. Students unhappy with the way life is being lived and run, the government, the need for change, that's what they wanted. It was quite a revolution, and I think many of us have lived through it. It ends with the removal of his accreditation as a Catholic teacher after more than a decade of measures against him by the authorities, in striking parallel to this runs the career of a fellow Tübingen professor, Joseph Ratzinger, who by the end of the book has risen through the Catholic hierarchy on a course which will eventually lead to his election as Pope Benedict XVI. This period sees the appearance of three best-selling books by Hans Kuhn, Infallible, with a question mark, An Inquiry, and On Being a Christian and Does God Exist, which received wide acclaim inside and outside the church. A series of travels throughout Europe to the United States and around the world enhances his international reputation and broadens his horizons, particularly towards the world religions. However, this dimension is not recognized in the Vatican or by the German bishops, and the storm clouds gather and finally break. Though clearly devastated by the treatment accorded to him by his church, Hans Kuhn tells his story in an objective and dignified way, in full detail, thus providing documentation of Vatican attitudes and practices, which others, too, have criticized. I have chosen a section here. It's called Tübingen in Restless Times. I chose it for a number of reasons. It recalls the 1969 riots in many of our universities in which students took over offices of the president and other staff members. A time of unrest, a time in which there was something happening in our society which was not going down well with the youth. And they wanted change. They wanted a new regime. I also have picked this because it was at this time that both Ratzinger and Hans Kuhn were teaching at Tübingen. Hans Kuhn stayed there while Ratzinger left with somewhat of a sour taste in his mouth and eventually ended up in Regensburg. The story that is told here begins with the reasoning behind Ratzinger being turned off by the 1969 riots of the students. In 1969, one could also see the whole student movement in a less lurid light than Joseph Ratzinger. This is certainly fed by the dualistic view of history held by his teacher Augustine, who after the culture shock of the capture and plunder of Rome in 410, interpreted the whole world of history in his giant work, The City of God, as a fight between the state of God and the world state, belief and unbelief, power and love. what Hans Kuhn is saying here is that this is the set of eyes that he feels Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict XVI, was looking through at that time. And he was seeing these riots as a war between belief and unbelief, power and love. Hans Kuhn continues, "But who would have had more reason to complain about psychological terrorism and moral abandon than the rector of the university during the turbulent summer semester of 1968? And that rector was Ludwig Reiser. On the 13th of January, 1969, he entered a three-hour occupation of his office. He entered it and endured it. By 150 students without negotiating or calling the police. He then made himself available for a public debate in the Festel. In a kind of interim summing up after the summer vacation, he had attested in a letter to the members of his teaching body, quote, almost overnight we have a neo-Marxist teaching structure, a political concept of scholarship, and a syndicated plebiscite understanding of democracy. He also speaks of, quote, shocking forms in which the theses and demands derived from this are presented. But he immediately adds, even if we regard the student interpretation of what is happening as, quote, one-sided and distorted, their future expectations as utopian, we should seek to understand that in the worldwide unrest of youth, an age is announcing itself for which the traditional forms of life and modes of behavior will no longer be adequate. I think that's an interesting way to look at this student unrest. It was unrest with the traditional forms of life that were then happening and the modes of behavior, and that this was no longer adequate for the needs of the times. This is the way that Reiser saw it. Hans Kuhn continues, the difference between Joseph Ratzinger and me is probably that he has turned away from the whole student movement with horror and abhorrence and refuses to engage in the local intellectual controversy. To this degree, I must agree with Ludwig Reiser. Our responsibility as scholars and teachers compels us to join in the thinking here. Though the ideologically fixated minorities may only seek the opportunity to propagate their prejudices when they call for discussions, the task remains of helping the great majority, which is critically doubtful, but not fixated, to form a well-founded judgment. End of quote. Indeed, quote, our struggle for the truth carried on in intellectual freedom and mutual respect will also win over the young generation. That's a sentence well worth repeating. Indeed, our struggle for the truth carried on in intellectual freedom and mutual respect will also win over the young generation if we involve them in it better than violence and angry repudiation, better also than merely holding firm to authority and tradition. And I end there with that little section. I picked it because I think it speaks to this day and age that we are living in. There is a lot of unrest with the times, and best of all to solve them is to have open dialogue, to try to keep the level of respect high, but to let the discussion flow and not to bring the law in and beat people over the head for trying to change the times. Table of contents is quite exorbitant, and what I'm going to do is just take the headings. The first heading is Roman provocations. The second, 1968, year of decisions. The third, to begin in restless times. The fourth, infallible, and it's a question mark. The fifth, global trip and global theology. Number six, battle for the truth or a struggle for power. Number seven, the demand for capitulation. Number eight, the adventure of a book. Number nine, problems of the hierarchy and problems of the world. Number 10, 1978, the year of three popes. 11, the great confrontation. 12, Roma locuta, causa non finita. Rome has spoken, but the case is not over. And that ends the table of contents. I think this is a good book to look at. It gives a very good insight into the history of the times in which Hans Kuhn and Josef Ratzinger were young professors, what it was like in Germany, which really reflected a good part of the rest of the world with the student unrest and times changing. His trying to defend a position which was not going down well in Rome, the problems he had, and most of all, the fact that he never left the priesthood, and he's still a priest till today. Unlike some theologians who gave up on the church, he has never given up on the church, and hence I think is one reason why we should listen to him. Happy reading.